Is this 662-3799?
Center. Go ahead, Augie 1.
Am I talking to?
Higgins, Deputy Director. I'm holding the baby. Go ahead.
Hit confirmed. Maximum is reported. 6 gold items.
What's the quality of work?
Clean, fast, first rate.
Did you say 6?
Accepting, Condor. There should be 7.
Repeat, 6. Here's a rundown on those items. Lapp, Sean, Russell, Jennings.
Martin, Mitchell.
All right, Augie 1. Find 7.
Audio cards on older Macs like the 2CI or, you know, even a 2X, cards from Digit Design and other manufacturers like Radius and Spectro Innovations, and you can get anywhere from 4 to 6 tracks of playback on those systems on the older Macs. But
crazy. It's actually really depressed and suicidal. I don't get to draw.
Returned from the war and began to rebuild his company in Grunsburg until it became the largest employer in the area, and the Menglers, though not really old money, were the first family in that scenic Bavarian city and respected by all, a respect that continues to this day.
Going to take a catapulting leap forward. You are going to dream dreams like you have never dreamt before. Bigger dreams, grander dreams, more far-reaching dreams. Giving, in a sense, whole new meaning to the very idea. And it is often family, spiritual family, that can help you with foundation and help you with catalyst. Trust and to dream more than you have ever allowed yourself before.
Tear down barriers.
The third value we suggest is we use the singular word expanding. You are expanding your influence, you are expanding in a world where the past has let go, where the mechanisms of cause and effect, a subtle hiccup in the history of humankind, has now settled down, and where resonant causation, which has ultimately been the only causation, is becoming stronger and more profound, where the future is ever increasing its influence, not control, its influence. What you are about is resonance, and expanding the resonance of your dream and of the dream. Expanding that resonance. And it is family that can give radiance to that resonance. It is family that can amplify the one voice, whether it's heroic, lyrical, or sacred, to amplify the one voice, to create in your way the oasis among many oases of creative minority. Is going to draw you and your world and all those who wish to participate into a new world. And it is so often to fall back upon, to rely upon, to turn to, among all the techniques of low magic, among all the seemingly invisible techniques of high magic, to have a place to share your power, your strength, your talent, to have those that will share their strength, their power, and their talent with you. People, there is not enough time left to play around with the idea of learning it all, of doing it all yourself. There's too much to know, too much to do, and not enough time in your reality in which to do it. You need that of synergy called family. However broadly, however specifically defined, so that you might expand and share your inner world and your outer world and your inner world. For family is not limited to those seen friends that occupy the illusion with you. Family extends deep, not just upon a lateral axis, but a vertical axis as well. Deep, certainly including your higher self, certainly including your soul and spirit, which are parts of you, certainly so. Maybe certain of the other unseen friends, not all of them, some of them. Just as your family does not include all the physical people you know, but only some of them, so your unseen friends, not all of them, some of them are family.
What are you trying to get at in your work?
Jesus. I don't know.
I don't work in terms of conscious messages. I can't do that. It has to be something that I'm revealing to myself while I'm doing it, which is hard to explain, which means that while I'm doing it, I don't know exactly what it's about. You just have to have the courage or to take that chance, you know, what's going to come out, what's coming out of this.
Your comments on this. It seems to me the two aspects, the two motivations for conservatives are as follows. First, for some people, freedom and democracy are scary things. Many people, I think, are unwilling or uncomfortable about taking responsibility for their own behavior, and they're uncomfortable about the ideas of freedom and democracy, at least as most of us understand those terms, because freedom and democracy require that you take personal responsibility. So I suspect that many conservatives want to limit the amount of personal freedom people have, or maybe set up strict rules so that there's no ambiguity.
I'll explain that this afternoon at the show. But this we developed as the world's most efficient heating system. We said, gee, if we could use that now to make electricity, when the electric company makes electricity, they do a thing I call high temperature phase change. They take water that boils at 212 degrees, they put it in a boiler with a 1,000 degree heat source, and they create high pressure steam. They use that high pressure steam to drive a turbine. But we got the idea that why couldn't we, instead of using water that boils at 212, which our 250 degree heat source wouldn't do much to, why couldn't we utilize refrigerants and put them in the boiler and things that boil at, say, 100 degrees below zero? And if we've got a 250 degree above zero Fahrenheit heat source, we could get something pretty crazy that boils at 100 below zero, and we could use low temperature phase change to also produce electricity.
Second, and related to this, it seems to me that living in a society like ours is inherently, or that our society is inherently disorderly and chaotic, and for a lot of people that's very uncomfortable. I suspect a lot of conservatives may be people who are inherently, maybe even physiologically, uncomfortable with capitalist society, which is inherently disorderly and messy and always changing.
In the esoteric traditions, double remembering literally means that we will remember to remember that we are part of the entire web of life on Gaia, on the earth.
Made measurements of these wounds. All the measurements are made after I personally inspect the wounds and approximate and realign the edges to make them conform more with their
done that. We do that, and therefore we can take energy out of the air so efficiently to produce the steam to make electricity that the amount of electricity it takes to run a compressor in our heating system is far less than the amount of electricity that's generated in the overall process.
Bits were creaking open for Joseph Mengele, where he would find twins in great abundance. Twins who would have no choice but to participate in his deadly genetic experiments.
I'll send you more janitors.
So all of these Jewish intellectuals in the Northeast who have no couldn't tell a Presbyterian, you know, from a Pentecostalist, think, oh, well, these people, they're pro-Israel, you know, they believe in traditional. That they have no idea that what is driving the anti-abortion movement for many of these Southern Protestant fundamentalists is this idea. It's kind of like the blacks have this idea of, some black conspiracy theorists think there's the plan, you know, genocide of drugs and abortion and so on. There's the white right-wing version of this, which is that abortion doctors who are disproportionately Jewish, like all doctors in the population, are exterminating Christian children. I don't think the Jewish intellectuals who are carrying water, as you say, for the right, realize this. I think they're opportunists, and they haven't really looked into the beliefs of their allies. Based in the Midwest, it actually cuts against your theory. These tend to be foundations set up by the estates of long-dead Midwestern tycoons, you know, from the who made them in the 20s or 30s and were Taft Republicans or very old-fashioned. They were commandeered by these New York intellectuals who moved to the right, like Irving Kristol and a lot of his associates, and by people like William Simon in the 1970s. And until that point, these foundations had been rather dormant and unimportant. And because of the coordination rather than the actual amount of money, they became very significant as the basis for this new conservative intelligence.
Who is Olin? Is this a product? Is this a man? Is this a live man?
Yeah, I think Olin was involved in arms manufacture and in industry and things like that in the early 20th century.
But.
that we are not an isolated individual ego, and that we have an effect on anything in our environment, and that in turn our environment affects us. That there is this interactive, reciprocal nature, a dance, if you will. I always see this dance in the form of an infinity cycle. It's interesting that this infinity cycle is actually the symbol of Isis, the Egyptian kind of goddess of nature, one of the very earliest goddesses, the primordial goddess, actually, of nature. Now, so we have this idea of the primordial time or present time, which we will remember to remember by being at these sacred sites.
Ever started showing any enthusiasm for anything, my brother Charles would always say how perfectly goddamn delightful it all is, to be sure. Always take the wind out of my sails. Even though I don't see him very often, whenever I'm with him, that revives that real keen awareness of that, of this being very removed or, you know, extremely separated from the rest of humanity and the world in general, which I kind of like. I like that feeling. Perfectly goddamn delightful at all.
Is this 662-3799?
Lord, hallelujah. This is Reverend Andrew Peer. God bless you, Lee.
Multi-Bible. I want to read the Bible, and I want to know more about God.
Security, Norm.
Norm speaking. Norman, this is Mr. Eddie Vedder from accounting. I just had a power surge here at home that wiped out a file I was working on. And
listen, I'm in big trouble. You know anything about computers? Right, well, my BLT drive on my computer just went AWOL, and I got this big project due tomorrow for Mr. Kawasaki, and if I don't get it in, he's gonna ask me to commit Harry Carey. Yeah, well, you know these Japanese management techniques.
Could you read me the number on the modem? It's a little boxy thing, Norm, with switches on it. Let's my computer talk to the one there.
212-555-4240.
Files on 20 million Americans.
Computer is ready.
With their appearance as a stab wound, because stab wounds such as these gape at the center, and the only way to get an estimation or an approximation of the true length of the wound is to align the by twisting the skin or pushing the skin into alignment. So all my measurements are made that way.
Is
this heat pump something that is on the market, has been on the market?
Yeah, the heat pump was sold across America from one end of the country to the other, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And they have been proven and very well established to be the most efficient heating system in the world. There's not really much argument about it. There's so much test data that it would be very difficult to refute. The free electricity process that utilizes this heat pump that's so well established, that's another story. We have not gone into commercial distribution at this point in time. We're about to, but we have not up until this point in time because we've been fighting very diligently some very powerful forces who do not want to see that free electricity machine hit the marketplace.
Medical school. He moved to the University of Frankfurt and began research under the tutelage of Professor Ottmar von Verschuer, an ardent Nazi and top specialist in the science of eugenics, which would attempt to create the master race.
American Indians, Latinos, and blacks come from a genetically mediocre stock.
Yak, yak, yak.
Being aware of racial division.
Get a job.
And I am. Say I'm a.
Nothing in, and your name goes through like 17 computers a day. 1984, you're right, man. That's a typo. Orwell's here now. He's living large. We have no names, man. No names. We are nameless.
to share that with those who can understand what you're talking about. Not your jargon, your truth, your goodness, your beauty. To expand and to share that. And fourthly, the last that we shall mention, this change that we're talking about, of moving from a world that is to a world that has not yet been, it's not about fixing the problems, but changing. Not about repairing and fixing up a world, but generating and creating a whole new world. Is not going to happen overnight in a singular cataclysmic change. It is not going to be you go to bed one night and wake up in the morning and, oh, look, a whole new world. Now, there are many out there that speak of such cataclysms. There are many out there that speak of such instant change. After all, many thousands of years ago, the dinosaurs disappeared. Many thousands of them are frozen in ice. Mastodons with flowers in their mouth. It can happen like that, and it's going to happen again. The poles are going to shift, this is going to change, and overnight, a whole different world for those who survive. Sounds nifty and frightening. Sounds very logical and very reasonable through old eyes and through old ears. Perhaps that's all one can see and hear. But even so, that's not how it's going to occur. It is rather going to occur gradual. In its way, gradual or too fast for some. But you are in transition now. Bits and pieces of that more real world, glimpses and glimmers of a more real you, are starting to poke and to peek into your world. And your world into it. There is a gradual sense of transformation. Gradual. In the relative sense of time, it is so very fast. But in the moment to moment, it is a blurring of the boundaries. You see, when something goes wrong in your life, when you fail, to whatever degree or extent, you have a failure. Taking that as feedback, that something's askew with the tools or with the raw materials or with the energies, whether generating or sustaining, something's askew. You have, for the most part, learned to look to the past. Learn to look to what's wrong with me. What's wrong? Where did I screw up? Where did I miss? Where did I make a mistake? And there is value there. Please do not misunderstand us. But you see, there's going to be a time, people, when those kinds of things that go askew are going to be clearly evidences of something that's right about you, something that's true about you, something that's good about you. Right now, you're in transition. Is this failure me mucking up once again? Or is this failure my soul's way of saying there's a better way? There's a more elegant way to accomplish what I'm after. Many of you have experienced those programming failures that you were sure hanging your head was absolute failure, only weeks, only months, maybe even more later to discover, thank God, I didn't get what I was programming for. I saw that person across a crowded room and I just knew they were the one for me, and we had to fall in love and we had to have a relationship and we had to live forever and ever. And you find that other that was so important to you turned out to be some sort of whatever. Oh, thank God we didn't have more than one date. Oh, thank God we didn't even have that. So-and-so had a relationship with them. And so-and-so regrets it. Oh, thank God it didn't happen to me. So maybe that failure was a success. But see, you're in transition. Is it a failure? Is something wrong? Or is it something right? I don't know. Either or. Come on, pick, choose, do something. Maybe it's knows? Maybe there'll be a time that the majority of what goes askew or what happens in my reality are a whole range of reflections of what's right, rather than, as it used to be, a reflection of a myriad of things wrong. But right now you're in transition, and therefore we encourage you, don't pick one, look at possibly both. See what this could be as a reflection of something askew, but also don't stop there, don't end there, even if you find brilliant and wonderful answers, don't stop there. Look also at, now that I've done that and exhausted that, let me look to the other side of what's right, of what this could say about who I really am. Oh, that's scary. What if I'm wrong? What if I'm fooling myself? What if I'm delusional? That's where family can help you. As the boundaries blur, that's where family can help you. The internal spiritual family and the external can be there, not to coddle, not to excuse, but to love and to help you, to offer the insights that you might not be able to gather for yourself. As the boundaries blur, as a three-dimensional reality gives way to a multi-dimensional complexity, to help you make the bridge, the transformation, as the boundaries blur. These reasons, and certainly you can come up with more, but these particular four we mention of why what was important may for so many of you now become critical, now become essential. But you see, if we stop there, some of you are going to panic. Oh my God, I've tried for years and it hasn't worked. And what family I have are those that are called family, if you really aren't that bad. Oh, I'm in real trouble now. Jeez, just as I thought I was now, look at me, oh, I gotta go out there and find a family. Oh, so we suggest these values, perhaps only as catalyst for you to discover your own. But we now want to look at family, perhaps defined and developed out of the past.
Let me say this. Higher taxes do not create new jobs.
Okay. All right. Bye. That's that. That's that.
I'll send you more data.
They destroyed that. You've seen it when their man, Governor Florio, was elected. Governor Florio has too much taxes. So does Governor Clinton.
Well, to start with the second, there is something to the fact that a lot of people are anxious because of the turmoil in society, much of which is being driven by globalization of economy and so on. And then they look for some non-economic explanation, you know, the media, the bureaucrats, whatever, to blame the troubles on. I'm not so sure about your first point. It seems to me if they were generally genuine communitarians, you know, who want this very stable conservative social order, they don't like too much liberty and freedom, they would be consistent. You know, they go on and on about they're defending family values, but who do they single out? They single out, you know, the homosexuals who are 2% of the population. If they were really concerned about family values, there would be mass movements led by conservatives in every state of the union to harshen, make divorce laws much stiffer. And yet, I've observed this. 90 to 100% of the effort that the religious right has put into the pro-family, who have been banning abortion and eliminating even basic gay rights, not one major religious right figure has made stiffer divorce, you know, to keep families together, to have penalties for divorce. Not one of them has made that a major part of the agenda. Well, can it be coincidence that Bob Dole has a second wife, that Newt Gingrich divorced his first wife, that Ronald Reagan was divorced? So I think it's not that they're consistently afraid of liberty. They single out those liberties of unpopular minorities.
Meet Serial Killer. Eyes in Fruit Loops. But he does know things.
Anyway, guys, listen. I'm in this computer, right? So I'm looking around.
You got those Crayola books?
Oh, yeah. Technicolor Rainbow.
Yeah. Green one.
What is that? Let me see. What are these?
International Unix environments.
Luscious Orange.
Computer security criteria, DoD standards. Pink Shirt Book, Guide to IBM PCs, so-called due to the nasty pink shirt the guy wears on the cover.
What's that?
Devil Book, Unix Bible.
What's that?
Dragon Book, Compiler Design.
Yeah? What's
that? The Red Book, NSA Trusted Networks, otherwise known as the Ugly Red Book that won't fit on a shelf.
Irene Bibble wanted a divorce. She wanted to marry somebody else.
He agreed to the divorce. What could he do? It was strictly a legality he put on paper. Irene was free. In Argentina, Mengele continued with his life. When a lawyer who represented the family interest informed him that the German government had sent letters to the government in Argentina requesting the extradition of former Nazis, like Mengele, was panicking, and with the help of people who said they would attest to his residency for 5 years, he fled to Paraguay. And in 1959, Jose Mengele was given citizenship. Paraguay was under the rule of General Alfredo Stroessner, of German descent, and another great admirer of the Nazis.
Stupid question, but why don't they want to see us?
No such thing as a stupid question. That's a question that sets us all up for us to realize that there is a very good answer to that. And the answer to that is we live in a smokestack economy, and a lot of people have a whole lot of money invested in fossil fuels. The amount of people in financial institutions that own stocks and bonds and electric utilities companies is legion. Our whole economy, you might say, is kind of based upon the stocks and bonds of the value of them and electric utilities companies. So if we're going to come out and put a unit out that could make people totally independent of the electric grid system, that's no small order to be able to do that. I mean, there are a lot of people who have major vested interest in the opposite technology. And like always, yesterday's heroes become tomorrow's villains. The guys who are invested in yesterday's solutions become the problem of today.
Go send your work ahead.
Now, these sacred sites, you recall, have the chi underneath them, the earth force. So they will amplify consciousness in a way. They will be, in a sense, the trigger to push consciousness a little bit further. They will give it a reflective nature.
Spent an uneasy 16 years with the Stammers, which included a move to a larger farm near Sao Paulo, Brazil, again purchased by the Mengele firm in Günzburg. In 1976, living conditions had deteriorated with the Stammers to the point that another family was found to take him in.
Florio Clinton combination, they kicked 500,000 jobs out of New Jersey. When Governor Kane was here, we were building jobs. But I have a very different agenda, a plan to control the growth of mandatory spending and get the taxes down. But I have a very different agenda. Very different agenda.
And that's what's happening right now.
A plan to control.
You also say you have an engine that can drive a car with no gas?
Yes, we initially, whenever we came up with our technology to take energy out of the air and produce electricity, came into some real problems. One of them was the Carnot cycle for anybody who's technical out in the crowd. We just weren't getting high enough temperatures that condensing at 55 degrees, we could get a big enough spread to get enough efficiency to get it done all the time. And so we were also seeking an answer to another problem that we had, and that was on the cooling side of our unit. We had to use water to cool down these gases, and that meant that if you were going to be running this all the time, you had to have a lake on your property because you had to have a massive amount of water to cool it down. We needed an answer to it, and the answer was supplied by a man who I consider to be a genius, Dr. Fisher, Dr. Fisher had developed the world's most efficient heat engine, which I will be explaining today at this show at 1 o'clock. It is an engine that operates in a closed loop with no condenser at all. For those technical people, that's a mouthful. For those non-technical people, I'll explain. You've got an engine in your car right now. It's an open loop. It has an exhaust system on it. And you run the gas through, you get the power, and you have to throw the exhaust away, or the gas away. If you don't throw the gas away, it can't continue to run. In a closed loop where you don't have anything exhausted to the environment at all, you have to have a condenser, which will take the same thing, the steam, that hits against the blades of a turbine and produces power. You have to be able to cool that down. If you can't cool it down, the unit will not continue to run. For someone to have an engine that operates in a closed loop with no exhaust at all, and at the same time has no need for a condenser, this is monumental in its implications. If there are any physical physicists or technical people out listening to this right now, or even non-technical people, by all means come to the show, and we will explain the whole process to you of the world's most efficient engine. But we did develop an engine. It does operate in a closed loop with no condenser. That means that we could produce electricity without a lake, without the need for a lake or any kind of a condenser at all. And we developed that process to where we could put it onto your car, since we don't need the water on the low side. We then came up with the idea that we could utilize, by making some major innovations engineering-wise, we could utilize the same basic concept that makes that engine work, which I realize I haven't explained yet, in any internal combustion engine. If you have a piston engine, we could modify it to run without any gasoline at all. And so we can now take the engine, like we're today, this afternoon at 1 o'clock, we will have a 318 Chrysler engine sitting on an engine stand in a hotel at the Best Western. And what we will do is we will be driving that engine in the room with no gasoline, without combusting anything, with no spark plugs. We'll be driving that engine right in that room on these concepts. And but anyway, see, we can push against the head of the pistons, modify pistons, and push against the head of the pistons with this low temperature phase change in an engine itself, and give you power in the same engine that you're driving right now in the same car. So when we come out with our technology, which we're intending to do the engines by about the end of September, we're on a United States tour. When that tour is over, we'll start modifying cars in the United States. That's the plan.
Like homosexuals. But on the other hand, if you have something popular like divorce, that's popular even among the conservative camp, then they can live with that kind of liberty.
Divorce, homosexual marriage, abortion, certainly. Not divorce, but these are the issues and the overtones that the Republican convention is going to be all about. How will it play out?
Computer's ready.
This is cunning to me. This one here, Naomi Wilson, that cross-eyed farm girl that wore homemade clothes to school. I secretly had a crush on her. I was very sexually attracted to her. Of course, you never dare admit it openly that you like this funky girl that had B.O. and hairy legs. Jean Australia, I liked her too. She was also considered a dork. She's kind of a bookwormy type that talked with a lisp and shapely, powerful legs. I never actually had any contact with these girls, except I used to play footsie with this one.
They will give it a kind of an insight into different ways of seeing and acting.
Where are they now? 30 years ago. listen to old music. That's one of the few times when I actually have a kind of a love for humanity. You hear the best part of the soul of the common people, you know, just their way of expressing their connection to eternity, or whatever you want to call it. Modern music doesn't have that calamitous loss that people can't express themselves that way anymore, you know.
This 5/8 inch wound, which was vertically oriented, had a blunt end inferiorly and a pointed end superiorly, which means it had it had the shape of a very narrow triangle, and the blunt end was in the lower part, and then it came to a pointed end above.
That their attempts to clamp down on this and have a completely staged, scripted convention will fail, because we know that 40-50%, maybe more, of the delegates there are going to be the far right. You know, the Christian fundamentalists, people who believe the Bible literally, think the world is 6,000 years old, all the animals came out of Noah's Ark, that abortion is the worst mass murder since Hitler's Holocaust. You know, they're not going to be manipulated as easily as the moderate Republican leadership.
Shapely, powerful legs.
The next thing that you probably noticed that we do is that we put lasers, we shine lasers onto the crystal. And when we shine lasers on the crystal, you get a whole different effect. In our concerts, like the Firestar concert in Germany that had UFOs come, and many Firestar concerts that we've had where UFOs have come, we're always using many lasers, and the lasers are shooting their energy down into the core. Now what happens is, if you understand how a laser beam works, first of all, regardless of what the output color of the laser is, meaning the color of the beam coming out, the laser beam is created by the green energy of its pumping source. And so what that means is that inside a laser is a white light source, like a flash bulb that's continuously going off. It's called a xenon flash tube in most lasers. This flash tube would fire its white light energy down into a ruby rod if it's creating a red laser, or it might be firing down into the gas type laser like a helium, a cadmium gas, which would create a blue laser light output, or it could be firing into an argon gas, which would create a green light output. But the bottom line is the same. Regardless of what color of laser tube this is white light pumping into, it's only absorbing the green energy of the spectrum. And of course, if you remember, green is the central frequency of hydrogen, and it's also the plant kingdom. So therefore, it becomes very important to understand that the green is going to be absorbed, and it's a constant energy field. That means if you're pumping laser light into a crystal over a period of time, you're going to be working a lot with the center frequency of hydrogen. As a result of that, you're centering your hydrogen atoms in your body. One of these people that had the jet lag experience where you had to go from one continent to another, carried a laser with you in a small crystal, and when you got to your destination, projected the laser onto the crystal for a few hours and meditated with it, let the sphere of influence of that energy go into your body, it would definitely slow down the effects of jet lag, because it restabilizes the hydrogen atom in the body. In the flying saucers and the interstellar devices that the Pleiadians and the other different races produce, they have field generators in there that produce similar or the same effect. and they're oftentimes seen as laser lights from the outside that help stabilize the metabolism of the occupant when it on his long deep space journey.
CIA, Langley?
This does cause some problems. Anthony Lewis is an interesting case. He is an interesting case because he is the most critical commentator on U.S. policy in the U.S. press, as far as I know. Now, he has a column yesterday in which he talks, of course, about the magnificence of James Baker and so on, and he says the proof of the tremendous achievements of the Baker-Bush diplomacy are that there's a new moderation in the occupied territories. And the new moderation is demonstrated by an election in Gaza, in which the PLO took 1/3. I gotta go. Okay, yeah, I'll be practically finished. In which the PLO won 13 positions against 1 to the opposition. So huge PLO victory, and that's a sign of a new moderation. You notice this is already getting a little tricky, because the PLO are these terrorists who we're supposed to hate, but. The tolerance of contradiction is very high in the commissar class. It's easy to say contradictory things at the same time. Not a very big problem.
That was a lie at the beginning. Why would anybody be necessarily watching him? They're always covering for him anyway. But we knew that wasn't true because when Rokar got there, shortly after 3 o'clock, Rokar goes to that back alley and he sees Risky, who's back there then. Remember, Rokar sees Risky.
Public on the 22nd with regard to my and the one on the 21st as well.
Anyway, guys, come on. I'm in this computer, right? So I'm looking around, you know, throwing commands at it. I don't know where it is or what it does or anything. It's like choice. It's just beautiful, okay? Like 4 hours, I'm just messing around in there. Finally, I figure out that it's a bank. Right? Okay, wait, okay. So it's a bank. So, this morning, look at the paper. Some cash machine in, like, Bumsville, Idaho spits out $700 into the middle of the street.
That's kind of cool.
That was me. I did that.
The tyranny of consensus. saints talk about what has been the euphemism, what family has euphemistically been used to describe, that really isn't family at all. And we refer to these, for some sense of coherence, as veils to perception, the veils to your perception of the true family. No matter how hard you look, the veils to your perception. But if you can be aware of, if you can be conscious of, you can compensate for, you can remove, so that you might see through eyes of your eyes and hear through ears of your ears, and thus discover, not by traversing the continent from place to place looking for this family that somehow has been waiting for you, twiddling their thumbs or whatever, but to let it emerge conveniently where you live. The first veil we simply call the veil of the past. The past descriptions and definitions. And we look at this, and what we mean by this can be perhaps exemplified in these ways. First of all, projection. Yes. Some people in search of spiritual family are looking for a new mother and a new father, are looking for siblings they had or maybe that they never had. They're looking, in a sense, to project their biological family upon new players who are simply going to play the old roles. Spiritual family, oh goody. Now, who's going to be the mother in this family? Come on, all my friends, let's get together. Who's going to be? Well, we know, so-and-so, they're the one, mothering type, they're going to be the mother. That's the mother in the family. And who's going to be the father? It doesn't matter gender. Men can be mothers, men can be fathers, women can be fathers, women can be mothers. So who's going to be the mother in your family? Who's going to be the father? And in that sense, projecting. Now, you all know it happens. You all understand, indeed, how many times have you projected mother or father onto an intimate other? How many times have you been seeking a mate, seeking someone to have an intimate relationship, and all you really ended up with was mother or father? Or a sibling in that regard. So projection is not new, and people, many people, make these same projections, not just on one another significant that they plan to marry and spend the rest of their life with, quote unquote, but also upon their family. Call it spiritual, whatever you want, but they project it, and therefore are looking for a gathering of someone to be mother, someone to be father, and for me to be the child. For me to be the child and have the same dynamic with that mother and that father as I had in my biological family. To project my parents, project the siblings, project the idealized family that I thought I should have had, had I not been adopted by these wretched people. Therefore, you're not looking for spiritual family, or those in this projected, gauzed over with cataracts of projection, are only going to seek and see mothers and fathers and siblings, and then they're going to enter into these arrangements only to discover, this is no family, this is a trap. This is where I was for 20 years or however of my life. The other veil of the past, the veil to perception, perhaps not projection, I don't do that anymore, but identification. I'm looking to be the mother that I had or that I never had. My mother was this wretched person, and I've decided when I grow up, I'm going to be this kind of mother. And if I don't have children, even if I do, maybe I can get a gathering of friends and be the mother that I never had. The mother the way she should have been. Or the father that I never had. Or the father the way he should have been. I'll be the mother. I'm not looking to project that on anybody. I want to be it. I want to be the all-nurturing, all-mother. Have everybody come to me and cry on my shoulder. Let me be the one that sits up night worrying about you. Let me be the one that calls you and say, do you need chicken soup? Let me be the one who tucks you in, whether on telephone at night or whatever. But in that, I want to be the mother. I want to be the mother. I've never been the mother. I want to be the mother. I want to be the father. I want to be the sibling. I want to be the adolescent I never got to be. See, I had to grow up too fast. when I had to grow up too slow. I never really got to be the adolescent. So I'm looking for a group of people, not really family, for a group of people where I can play out all that teenage stuff that now at 50 I can't do. Without looking ridiculous, you see. But if I can surround myself with a lot of physical people who permit me to be the adolescent, then I can do it. Some of you perhaps, not just you in the literal sense of this room, but people in your humanity, the plural you, people out there, looking to be the child they never could be. I was abused. It's real hard to go through years of abuse and to be a child. I never got to be a child. I never had a birthday party where we got noisemakers and hats and confetti. I never got to be a child. So what I'm really looking for isn't family at all, but somebody who will let me put on a noisemaker and a hat and throw confetti at my birthday party. That will celebrate my birthday as though I were 5 or 6. Because I want to be a kid. But an adolescent that I was never allowed because I grew up too quickly. Or grew up too slowly. Identification.
This is Crispin Glover, and you're listening to WZBC. WZBC. Hello, this is Crispin Glover at WZCBC. Hello, I don't think I got it. This is Crispin Glover at WZCBC. Hello, I don't think I got it. Crispin Glover at WZCBC. Hello, I don't think I got it. Crispin Glover at WZCBC.
Shapely, powerful legs.
Files on 20 million Americans.
WZBC. Straight out of the heart of Newton. Home of Leonard Bernstein. And, of course, Ram Dass. And Howard Stern's old lady. Electric Sky Church at the moment. CD called Together on Moonshine Records. Website, skychurch.com. If you have one of those nuclear-powered superphones, it's New Metaphysics, the big G, the instigator right here, an intense person. Gary Geiserman, use it, don't abuse it. I tell myself. Another expedition into metaphysics new. Hard to have a new expedition into the old. Unless you can't help yourself. Glad to be your congenial host. An echoing voice in the dying broadcast medium. Now that MSNBC is here, all good boys and girls go straight to the web. with the new 96 telecom bill. It's adios, amigos. For now. We'll come back for broadcast media later. When the Earth's dream is a little more vivid.
Langley Computer, state your program at the tone.
You know, is going to come up at you through the world or through people in the world. And therefore, those of you who, moi, martyr, oh, never, never. I never think I'm unappreciated. I really am unappreciated. I don't think it. I know it. I'm not a martyr. No, no, no. I shut down my martyr, and then it comes at me. Many people have married their own martyr. Many people have shoved down fear. Me, fear? No, I don't have any fear. You shove it down and create someone coming at you that have their fears and your fears, fearing for both of you, and you marry your fear. Hostile? I don't have a hostile bone in my body. No, I've shoved them all down, and they're now in the body of this person, or that person, or this other person at work, or at home, or whatever. And some people marry their hostility, or live with it, have an affair with it. My anger, my hurt, my control. The dark shadow that I want to pretend isn't there. The light shadow that I want to convince everybody isn't there. I shove all of that down and my shadow self comes at me. And so what I gather when I look for spiritual family is a spiritual family at all. I gather my martyr, my hostility, my pain, my sorrow. I gather my failure. I gather my control. I gather that. Oh, happy day, spiritual family. Who needs it? I should learn how to create that. I can do that already. I can scan this room and my little antenna can pick out exactly those who will be my shadow, who are my shadow, who are more than willing to say the lines and play the role, perhaps because it's their shadow as well, whatever, but nonetheless, that's not spiritual family. Now, there may be those within your spiritual family who do express your shadow. We're not saying go divorce the martyr you married. We're saying own the martyr so they don't have to. We're not saying divorce. Aha, you're my fear, and so I'm going to get... No. Own your fear so they don't have to carry yours as well as their own. Often they have enough of their own. But that's not spiritual family. It's a gathering of shadow. But so often people don't understand and therefore call it spiritual family, whether projected, identified, or the shadow. And the fourth component in this general category of the veil of the past, definition. I don't know who I am. I don't think I have any value. Any worth. Oh, I have bravado. I have a negative ego, but I don't really think I have value. I have worth. And so I'm seeking a place to belong. And since I have pretty much failed at finding people to belong to, maybe if I find an organization where I can pay dues, then they can't turn me away. My family is called Greenpeace. My family is called Sierra Club. My family is called MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. My family is called DARE, whatever those, that's an acronym for. My family is called Alcoholics Anonymous or Drugs Anonymous or anything you want anonymous. That's my family. They can't turn me away, you see. They gotta let me in. See, I don't want to necessarily meet you or you or you and see what we can, because I'm sure I'm going to screw, because see, I have no value. I don't know who I am. But if I can put a bumper sticker on my car, all of a sudden I have identity. If I can pay my annual dues and deduct it on my tax form, all of a sudden I'm real. If I can go down there and be with all these other people, who I know their name. Hi, Joe, how are you? This is sort of dip that I do. Uh-huh. We're good friends, aren't we? Set up.
Where's he been? What's he been doing?
Will Patrick Kennedy be speaking in prime time, and it will be in? Will it be inside or outside the convention hall?
Oh, I think they'll try to put him on at 4 a.m. in the morning, with the lights off.
But he doesn't have to be in the hall.
I think he'll take it to the camera. He will have his say, even if it's just to the news reporters.
He was completely obsessed with comics when we were kids. Had absolutely no other normal kid interest. He wasn't interested in toys or games. He didn't play sports. He didn't do anything but read comics, draw comics, think comics, and talk them. I like drawing, but I had other drawing interests besides comics, like to draw realistic scenes and, just pictures of buildings and cars and stuff. He wasn't interested in that at all. It was only for comics. This is the earliest one that still exists that I have. This is Charles drew this one. That's supposed to be me, and that's him. It made me feel absolutely worthless if I wasn't drawing the comics.
Maybe I was just unconsciously imitating the old man. My father, he was an overbearing tyrant. Maybe I was unconsciously imitating him when I forced you to draw comic books.
It will be the whole fiery culture war radical rhetoric that we saw in primetime 4 years ago. I think it makes sense. I'm very critical of the flower child left in my book. I think that I identify with the old New Deal liberal neoconservative tradition from Franklin Roosevelt through Lyndon Johnson. I think the two great presidents of the 20th century were Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson. Johnson was dragged down by an anti-war movement that was as much anti-American as it was anti-war.
Please, Michael Lynn. He was dragged down by his own mad pursuit of a desperately wrong war.
No.
I always think I should know everything. You never tell me anything. All right, right? All right, what are the three most common used passwords? Love, secret, and sex. But not in that order, necessarily, right?
Yeah, but don't forget God. System operators love to use God. It's that whole male ego thing.
Look, you want to be elite? You got to do a righteous hack.
Does require a dedicated audio card.
If anybody has any questions, 552-4686.
I'm proud of the honor of heading up a slate of rank and file candidates for the international offices for rank and file minors. We must have a safety program that will guarantee our members a safe journey to and from the mines, not one which accepts that we must lose 200 or 300 men every year in mining. I want to make it plain that my commitment is to the rank and file miner.
When the 9th of December rolls around, we'll have our election day. And Boyle, you better sit up and listen. Here's what we're gonna say. Well, Tony Bennett took off too long. Been stealing all our pay. But Miller is here and the time is near. They're coming a reckoning day.
now pronounce you President of United Mine Workers of America.
Congratulations.
Which office was this?
This was Boyle's old office, and the other one was Suzanne Richards' old office. Neither lives here anymore.
I do sign a 20-cent royalty for
Peabody.
Peabody Coal Company.
Honey boy.
What'd you say?
Mr. Boyle was giving a civil deposition when he was intruded upon by three FBI agents. I think that's grossly unfair.
Never expected that that was going to come through anything like this.
Why?
Paul?
Because I had no forewarning.
What about the charge itself?
So as I read the charge, I'm not supposed to say anything.
Come on,
Tom.
As you read the charge, what?
As bad as the killers are, a Vili and a Gilly, whatever they may be, they don't compare to the people at the top who would use the blood and sweat of miners to finance their killing.
Excuse us, please. Excuse me.
Well, for 60 minutes, and you're home.
Tear down barriers.
There's still a kind of sibling rivalry going on between me and Robert.
The depth of penetration for this particular wound?
The depth of penetration is,
If I have a very different agenda.
And then Risky is out in the front of Bundy there.
The evidence uncovered in 1985 is to be believed, then 1979 was...
None of this accidental shit.
Yeah, you want a seriously righteous hack. You score one of those Gibsons, man. You know, supercomputers they use to, like, do physics and look for oil and stuff?
Ain't no way, man. Security's too tight. The big iron?
Maybe, but if I were gonna hack some heavy metal, I'd work my way back through some low security and try the back door. Yeah, but oh man, wouldn't you just love to get one of those Gibsons, baby? Mmm.
Yo, who ate all of my fries?
Joey?
What? No. I didn't touch your fries. I did not touch your fries.
Cereal man, you owe me a pack. That was him, man.
You suck, dude. Yo, hey, man, you need to lay off of that shit.
Dude,
what are you doing?
Why would I hit you?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What is happening?
I'll talk to you in 60 minutes.
And the one on the 21st as well.
same thing is true with a Pleiadian ship. It has to project, it has to receive the picture with that degree of accuracy. So what these spider optics do is they are additional lenses that are projected through the side of the ship that help balance the electro-optic energies that are coming into the center of the ship, which are being pushed down through the cancel column. And you'll notice where they originate. They all originate at the top set of lenses at the bottom. They don't go directly into the cancel column. So they have to be processed, but they are additional eyes for the top and they're additional eyes for the bottom. On the Variation 3 ship, you'll see large louvers around the center of the parameter of the ship. What these louvers are multiple optical fiber optical systems, meaning that they're not just one round pipe like we're showing you on the model. There are many, many, many bundles that are shaped in a rectangular fashion that move from the center of the ship to the top and the center of the ship to the bottom. It's a highly focused lens system, but the technology on Earth today is quite capable of creating that particular optic system so that this entire ship can be operated. Now, in the projection mode, for example, in some of the Meyer footage you'll see on the big beam ship, in the Meyer Chronicles, for example, tape, you'll see on the beam ship, you'll see the Variation 3 ship with a beam coming out of the top, a beam coming off the very bottom, and a beam coming out of the center. And if you watch the ship, whichever direction that it goes, that beam always projects first and the ship follows. If it's going to the right, then the gondola on the top swings to the right. The middle of the center of the ship emits a red light. The top emits a red light in the direction it's going to go. And the bottom ring emits a red light in the direction it's going to go. If it's going to go the other way, this light beam swings around on the ship. And the ship then goes in the other way. This is the optic follow system that the Pleiadians use, where they are using a semi-interdimensional action of the ship as a force field to protect themselves at the same time to make navigation smoother. They are not engaging completely the projection optical system that allows them to go into hyperdrive, because to engage a system within the planetary confines is to do great damage to the planet itself, because it creates an astral vortex that allows huge amounts of negative energy to filter down into these planetary surfaces. This is, of course, how the Greys got here in the first place, because other extraterrestrials, when they came here with their propulsion techniques, did not acknowledge the Earth's phase as they should have, used their hyperdrive systems too close to the Earth's gravitational field, and created great rents in the veil around the Earth between the different dimensions. This allows a lot of what we call astral vampiral energy to escape into the Earth's three-dimensional system. A good example of that, of course, I could give that's a natural phenomenon here on the Earth is the Bermuda Triangle. Under certain, during the times of the Dark Lords of Atlantis, if you remember correctly, which they were undermined by the Greys even then, what happened was the Dark Lords began to work with these interdimensional forces and they got out of control, which led to their destruction of Atlantis, the seed in about 495 BC. Atlantis, the Poseidon capital of, was located right off the coast of Miami, Florida, about 2 or 3 miles. When Poseidon sunk below the waters of the sea of the Atlantic during that time frame, it left this huge negative vortex because they were using this technology we just discussed right on the surface of the planet for evil purposes.
How long have you known Condor?
Joey. I know him before he was a bird even. He went to CCNY.
My wife, May, too.
She ever Condor's girl?
Here you go, Mr. Wicks.
Can you tell me anything about what happened today?
Yes.
This morning. Of those murders?
What murders?
The other man, Barber.
He's dead?
Before he hit the ground, Mr. Traveler.
Add that it was a remarkable shot. Half inch above his flak jacket.
I thought this guy was...
Wait a minute. Was Condor qualified with a handgun?
2 years,
military service, Signal Corps. Telephone lineman, long line, switchboard maintenance, 6 months overseas. Separated 961, worked at Bell Labs, Communication Research College on the GI Bill.
Question was, Mr. Higgins, is he qualified with a handgun?
No handgun, sir, and one rifle and carbine. Evidently with sheer luck. Where else?
Yes?
Where else what?
Mr. Higgins, this Condor isn't the man his file says he is.
Then where did he learn evasive moves?
He reads.
What the hell does that mean?
It means, sir, that he reads everything.
I don't understand.
Yes.
Very good.
Operation's got anything?
Absolutely nothing, sir.
It's very well executed.
It requires planning, communications, tracks. I'm not asking for footprints. A blade of grass, a broken twig. Something disturbed.
Yes, sir.
Wick seems to be all we've got.
Where do we have him?
We don't.
Show him, baby.
Something weird's happening on the net.
As in what, you hapless techno-weenie?
The accounting subdirector in the Gibson's working really hard. We got one person online, and the workload is enough for like 10 users. I think we got a hacker.
Quite frankly, we really don't know much about it at all, except that it starts with a conflict or a guilt, and it leads to the patient's delusions that his body has been invaded by some alien intelligence, a spirit, if you will.
Basically, that Robert and I are still competing with each other.
With regard to the whole payments problem,
whiskey
testifies about taking this photograph.
Surprise to the barometer. The Jew who had caught him.
The Nazis are not against the Jews alone. That's just a sham. You let them carry on this way, there'll be the death of Christians, too.
Soft drink of the elite hacker.
Who are these guys?
It's Razor and Blade.
Find a payphone in a remote loop.
Razor and Blade.
That's right. This is a payphone.
Don't ask. As you can see, it's just a simple micro cassette recorder. Hook it up to the phone and drop in $5 and quarters.
Record the tones that the coins make. Then hang up and get your money back.
And never again pay for a service that would be dirt cheap.
If it weren't run by a bunch of profiteering gluttons.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime. It's a survival trait.
I disguised myself as an Alabama state trooper and penetrated the FBI NCIC.
Pervert. What are you talking about?
The FBI computer holds files on 20 million Americans. I just hacked into it.
Sort of a, not exactly, you know, hung on the wall at a straight up and down position, like a completely vertical position. It's tilted back so that if you stood away from it, it would be looking at you, yet the back of the thing would be pointing up into space. And then what we do is we fire a, well, in this case, in the beginning days of these things, we were using a helium neon laser. And the helium neon laser, the first one we did was up at Aspen, Colorado. We shoot the helium neon laser right directly into the diamond in the center. And what happens is the diamond in the center then diffuses the energy, and certain amounts of it hit these different, four different stones in the outer quadrants of the unit. This then sets up a resonant pattern that begins to oscillate and vibrate, and it increases energy at a pretty high rate of speed. And an analogy to that would be looking in the human body at the base of the spine, at the lowest chakra, the root chakra, we have what's called a four-petal lotus. And what that means is there are four glands, the adrenals, the spleen, the liver, and the kidneys, that work in conjunction with one another in the bottom of the human body. And when these organs are stimulated by certain kinds of coherent radiation, which we were talking about yesterday, they cause a flow of cerebral spinal fluid to begin to move up through the bone networks, the spinal column networks, up through the base of the spine. And finally, this spinal network, this fluid, which has been released from the bottom of the spine, reaches a point at the base of the brain, at the cerebellum. Then what happens is the brain opens up. It changes its resistance. In other words, it's a certain amount of resistance when you're waking up in the morning. Your brain, you know, seems clear once you get going and the adrenaline gets up there, versus at the end of the day, you've had a lot of input. You can hardly, you know, you're kind of foggy.
Mine works just the opposite.
Well, okay, because you're polarized backwards. But anyway, what happens is the resistance inside the brain changes when this adrenaline comes in. And what happens is the neurons in the brain then start switching at different speeds, which then links human consciousness to higher octaves into the universe. It's like, this would be like, a comparison of that would be someone taking LSD or psilocybin. It causes a change because LSD and psilocybin will mock up or fake out the brain as far as the serotonin structure is concerned, because they look very similar to it. But what happens is, the consciousness of the user actually changes. But in the case of adrenaline or the movement of the kundalini, this is a natural change. It's not a drug-related change. It's an automatic change that takes place, which then sends out or causes a person, in the case of consciousness, to be aware, to have a cosmic awareness, to have the third eye open, to have all these things happening. And then what happens is electromagnetic energy move with less and less resistance up and down the spinal column, so that you end up with a screening across the entire gray matter of these electromagnetic energies. It's almost like a waveform. So what happens is the gray matter is now illuminated or activated or turned on or switched on or lit up or whatever your terminology would be. And so this then causes the consciousness of the body to become awakened into this higher realm of knowledge. Now, in the case of a lot of ET contact, a lot of these people that have been contacted on a what I would call a steady basis and have been proven to be credible type of contactees have gone through this change. Like, for example, when the Montgomery lady writes about those books on ETs, Brad Steiger, all of these people have had some kind of a higher awakening.
Shapely, powerful legs.
Definition. And if I can belong and call some sort of cause a family, that's my spiritual family. But it isn't people. It isn't. Just as you gather here, this is not your spiritual family. There may be people here in this room with you tonight who are members or part of your family. But this is not even a group. This is a gathering of people. And when we say group, we mean that there's not going to be no reunion. You see, it's not like everybody's here, this is part of the San Francisco group, and you're called Group A or Group Hoochie Hoochie or whatever. And we're going to have annual reunions and this sort of thing, and you all gather together and see what you've done and that. No, because there's always somebody else here. You know, isn't it? Now, there are some who are always here, but there's always some who come part, sometimes here, sometimes there, sometimes frequently, sometimes seldomly. And it's never the same. It's a flowing, ever-flowing gathering. Some people have made the mistake of assuming you're all family. And think that if they're here, they must think like me, only to discover, much to your chagrin, sometimes to your pain, that they don't all think like you. They aren't even hearing the same workshop you're hearing. See, that's why we don't organize sit-down dinners for everybody and big banners, welcome back, you know? Because you're here for you, and maybe with some of your family, with somewhat like-minded people, certainly so. But see, everybody, what a big family. A spiritual gathering in which perhaps some of your family that you know and maybe some you don't yet know are already present. But not to say, I'm a Lazarus person. No, I'm a friend of Lazarus. That's Quakers who are friends. We'll be your friend. And we consider you ours, and you, and you, and you, and you will be part of your family if you like. But it is not required. It is not demanded. It is not, you won't grow unless. And we know there are those out there that would suggest contrary, but that is not true, and so we will never say that. But see, some people, so lonely, so afraid, seeking identity, seeking definition, join groups and then call them families, and they're not. You're setting yourself up to get hurt. Now, people understand this as well. As part of your growth, it may be important for you to go through the phase where you project mother and father and sibling. At work, at home, even upon those that you would consider spiritual family. Maybe that's an important phase to go through. Maybe it is valuable in your growth, a part of your process, absolutely, to put out the identifications, to try to be the mother, father, sibling, the adolescent, the child, whatever that you never got to be or never had. Certainly it is absolutely critical to your growth to face your shadow, and if the way you do that is through your associates, that's incredible. And yes, it is important to join and to belong and to be participating in your world, often as many voices in what's called a group, a cause, some sort of non-profit, some sort of profit, some sort of activity to make a difference in the world. Absolutely. We don't say don't do any of these things. Just don't think they're family. Okay? Just don't delude yourself and confuse yourself. Don't set yourself up to think that if you have a projected or an identified group, or that you've gathered your shadow around you, or that if you belong to some organization, that somehow that's family. And you see, because of this veil to the perception, because of how family has been defined and developed in the past, there are many in your world, maybe not even aware of their metaphysics like you are, of their spirituality as you are, who will pursue this spiritual family. But what they're really after is that which is projected, identified, the shadow or the definition. And they erroneously think that's family and get hurt. If you know it's not family, you can grow from those experiences, you can change from those experiences, you can become more from those experiences, absolutely so. As you can lift the veil, tell the truth. That's one veil that we call the veil to perception, the past. Another, a second veil to perception, is what we call the playgrounds of the unconscious. Playgrounds of the unconscious. And there are those in your world who perhaps will talk a good line, certainly so, will say all the right words about spiritual family and what it means and why it's so valuable and why they want it, why it's critical, why it's important and why they pursue it. But they're not really looking for family at all. They're looking for a playground. A playground, an unconscious playground, but a playground nonetheless. Some are looking for playgrounds for hidden agenda. See, I'm not really looking for a spiritual family. I'm looking for some place that I can control, or where I can seek vindication and others around me will make me noble in numbers to also seek vindication. I'm looking for a group to get together so we can feel sorry for ourselves, to play out self-pity, that particular agenda. I'm looking for people who will approve of me. I don't really care if they love me. I just want people who will approve of me, who will scratch me behind my ear, pet me a while, tell me, oh, poor baby, what a cute little puppy, what a cute little kitty you are. They want them to treat me like a pet in that regard, to approve of me. I don't want to hear anything I don't like, or anything that, even if it is to my benefit and value, even if it would help me grow, I just want approval, that agenda. I'm looking for a group that we can all get involved in our revenge, and perhaps in numbers mitigate the violence of our revenge. Like those that gather together and in the mass consciousness decide that it's all right to kill people, doctors who are performing abortions, it's all right to burn down houses of minorities, it's all right to stampede this or that or the other, because there's so many of us doing it. A playground for vindication, a hidden agenda. A playground for revenge, a hidden agenda. Or a playground to protect my ego. They told me I was in self-pity. Do you think I am? No. 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 See, I'm not. Ah, my friends. They say I'm not. To preserve my ego, to preserve the past, or to play out the manipulations. There are some who seek not a family, but a playground for hidden agendas. Others seek a playground for denied responsibility. You see, if I join this family, where we all deny responsibility, En masse or individually. We deny it's not me, it's the group. It's the group. It's the group. And I'm not responsible for what the group does. I'm just one person. I'm just one individual. I'm not responsible. I'm not responsible. It's a good place to hide for those who want to deny responsibility. I don't have to be responsible. That's just the way humans are. That's just the way we are in the south, the east, the west, the north, the whatever. That's the way my kind of people are. I don't have to be responsible. So often happens in this denied responsibility. After a while, when it gets tedious or boring or when it's not working anymore, all of a sudden they turn upon the group. They made me. They forced me. They brainwashed me. They. The group is responsible. First of all, I hide there so that none of us are. And when that doesn't work, often those in that position now will turn and blame the very group that they were so eager to be a part of, blame the family that they were so eager to be a part of, for causing all the ill, all the problems. And it's a playground of denied responsibility to get in and denied responsibility to get out.
Rushed him to Gouverneur Emergency before we got word.
Maybe we should leak the name of the hospital, try to get Condor to make his move.
Of course, Lemp. Don't expect too many mistakes from this man. After all, he does seem rather more interesting than just another of our reader researchers. Example. Has he gone into business for himself? Has he turned around? Did someone operate him? Sexual? Broke? Vulnerable? Could he be a soldier of fortune? Did he arrange the hit? Is that why he's still in flight? Still, he may be an innocent. But then, why didn't he come in gently with Mr. Wicks?
Congratulations.
Hello, this is Crispin Glover at WZCBC.
It's too much machine for you.
Yeah?
I hope you don't screw like your type.
Has a killer refresh rate.
P6 chip. Triple the speed of the Pentium.
Yeah, it's not just the chip. It has a PCI bus. You knew that.
Indeed. RISC architecture is going to change everything.
Yeah, RISC is good. RISC is good.
Computer is ready.
I think are very clear with regard to my attitude.
We're marching. Marching in lockstep, in place. In God, we trust. Or at least, that may be your mission, which may have been canceled. Mine, however, continues. Don't try and stop me.
The tyranny of consensus.
It's New Metaphysics. On the parade ground, in front of the mess hall, for all to view, hoping to pass muster. WZBC out of Newton. Around 90.3. Don't try and quantify it with your science, however.
Shapely, powerful legs.
We have filters for that. Two o'clock at Psychic Dub Rise all night. The good captain, Mark from Amsterdam, will be here in the flesh. Gary Geiserman here at the moment, winding it down, bringing you home. I'll be carrying a New York Times under my left arm. So come on in the alley and trust me. New Metaphysics. Rising from the ash of all that has come before. You can witness this event each and every day these days. The crumbling, the disintegrating of the very foundations upon which you were brought up. So grab onto yourselves. Give yourself a hand up and walk proudly into the new dawn. We're all eagerly awaiting Patrick Buchanan's address to the globe, coming soon from the Atlanta Olympics. I'll be back next Thursday night, 10 o'clock, sharp, or thereabouts, with another edition of this fine program, approved for family listening. Must Know Radio. As we pass through the phase of broadcast media and out into the cyber globe, soon to be appearing in a web television set in your family den or a basement lounge, or on your Dick Tracy wrist radio. Eventually appearing with video I'll be watching your show Perhaps our TV shows can meet in cyberspace and get intimate. Remember, technology does not come from what has come before. It comes from what comes after. Kind of like an attractor. That great sucking noise, if you will.
Like when I'm drawing comics, I still think of Charles' approval when I'm drawing him, whether or not he's going to like him.
It's all a great dusty novel on the shelf in the big dusty library. It's a big white blank page right now. Fear not, my friends. March gallantly into that blank space and make yourselves proud. Hear the call now. We're marching from Pretoria, my friends. Remember, it's either a new day or we take our lives and go away. Well, I think not. Ergo,
but on the short-term point, that was an exhibit and part of the basic file at the trial was that conversation, Colson saying, it's the stuff after that's dangerous, and you saying, you mean with regard to the defendants, of course, that had to be done.
So we can create good jobs. Create them. And we got to win the new economic competition. Our agenda for American renewal includes the steps that we must take to create good jobs today.
Sorry. No! Use your influence to get reparations for us. Use your influence to ease the debt that is strangling and choking the life out of African nations from the World Bank and the IMF and the other IMF.
Good job today.
You say, and this is the first time you heard from me on this, and I think you should, at a Black Holocaust observer. Well, you call for the death of the men, the women, the children, and the babies. Hell, you had heard that here at Howard University long before King Khaled. Killing our men, our women, our children, and our babies in South Africa have killed them over a long period of time. And so I call for my people to stand up and fight back. And you have a problem with that?
Good job today.
Condor take long?
You want an estimate?
There is a time factor.
Always with you people. Condor is an amateur. It's lost. Unpredictable. Perhaps even sentimental. It can fool a professional. Not deliberately, but precisely because he is lost. He doesn't know what to do. Unlike Witz. Has always been entirely predictable. The man Condor killed in the alley.
It's a friend of his.
Close friend?
I suppose so. Why?
It interests me. What was his name?
I don't know. He was nobody. He was just...
Il était quelqu'un pour Condor. Trouvez son nom et où il habite. Donnez-moi ses renseignements quand je vous téléphonerai.
What about Wicks?
You want the firm to question. They will, you know.
We don't want that.
Cost you nothing. I will care less with Condor. Wicks will be done for nothing.
Another playground is people looking for a playground to justify their need to control. To get together a gaggle of people and call them family, who all agree that you gotta to be safe, you gotta control, to be fascinating, you gotta control, to win, and everybody has to win. We all gotta be in control. Yeah, 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 we all agree. Consensus. The tyranny of consensus.
Good job today.
Being tried.
But working with a new Congress, we're going to put this entire agenda into effect and get America moving. Get rid of these Democrats from Congress and get them moving. To tear down barriers to free and fair trade so that we can create good jobs for American workers. In the past 3 years, our exports to Japan have increased 12 times faster than our imports from Japan.
You ever heard of exorcism? Well, it's a stylized ritual of which the rabbi and priest try to drive out the so-called invading spirit. It's been pretty much discarded these days, except by the Catholics who keep it in the closet as a sort of an embarrassment. But it has worked.
The average export-related job pays 17% more than
the
traditional job.
Although not for the reasons they think, of course. It's purely a force of suggestion. The victim's belief in possession is what helped cause it. So in that same way, the belief in the power of exorcism can make it disappear.
And I have a very different agenda.
Extension 1891, please.
Pardon me?
Is this 662-3799?
Yes, who's this?
There's no extension 1891.
Are you kidding? We're lucky if we have any phone service at all.
Sorry. Operator. What's the area code for Washington? D.C. Kathy.
6311.
CIA, Langley.
6311.
Extension 1891.
1891.
Let me speak to Mr. Wicks.
He's not here just now. May I ask what's going on, please?
CIA? Langley?
This sweet machine's not going to waste.
Crash override. What was it? Mess with the best, die like the rest.
Yeah. Not just the chip, it has a PCI bus. You knew that.
Indeed. RISC architecture is going to change everything.
Yeah, RISC is good.
You might hurt yourself, Reagan.
I'm not Reagan.
I see. Well, then let's introduce ourselves. I'm Damien Karras.
And I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
This sweet machine's not going to waste.
Crash override. What was it? Are you challenging me?
Name your stakes.
Ultimately of Civil Code 1812, which was a failure to register. I hadn't registered a form, they claimed, and so for some reason, we've never been able to figure out the whole theory. For some reason, they had to come to our research facility and take away every working model of every prototype that we had because they were investigating whether or not we filled out this form with the state.
Charles had everybody drawing comics in the family. The Animal Town Publishing Company. That was the kind of club we had as little kids, where we sat around and talked about comics.
tear down barriers.
Yes.
I'm doing a survey. Do you believe the condor is really an endangered species?
I just had an interesting call.
Who is this?
In reference to an all but extinct bird, the condor.
Have you had such a call? You're a fool to call me here.
You had no such call.
No.
Must have been the Audubon Society. I assume they're still located in New York City.
Langley computer, state your program at the tone.
G. Carriage return. TRS. Tone. Symbol for number.
Computer is ready. That number is 202-227-0098.
Thomas, Mrs. Coleman. Customer service requesting a CNA on 202-227-0098.
One moment, please. That would be Mr. Leonard Atwood, 365 McKinsey Place, Chevy Chase, Maryland.
The place and time later, but he said it's before the sun comes up.
Computer is ready. Computer is ready.
Is this 662-3799?
Right. Slowly. I have a very different agenda.
There's no extension 1891. Six six two three seven nine nine.